Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wednesday is a whole show of segments that you can find here every week. We kick it off with In Your Neck of the Woods with Greg Gunderson, bottom of the 2 p.m. hour. We always have Milwaukee as a microcosm with Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. And at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, we have a little segment we like to call Broad Appeal. We're talking about women in public service, women elected officials. Now, he's not a female elected official, but we're going to talk about women in public service. You know him as your former lieutenant governor and the guy that should be a sitting U.S. Senator, Mandela Barnes. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I really appreciate you being here, Mandela. Oop, you're muted. Always good to be able to actually hear you. There we go.
Well, you know, well, you were talking about women's empowerment. It's only right that I was muted at this moment.
I appreciate your flexibility. I'll refrain from muting you when I need to talk too much. All joking aside, Mandela, we have such an important topic to get to today, and that is the impact of our billionaire overlords, you know, hacksaw approach to cutting public servants, firing people in some of the most inhumane ways that I have ever heard of. But before we get there, I wanted to give a little plug. Not only are Jeremy Janine and I going to be at this event this evening at the downtown MATC campus, also Mr. Mandela Barnes is going to be there. This is one MKE's presentation of Your Ballot, Your Future, a preview of our 2025 spring elections. Again, this is going to be at MATC's downtown campus. Mr. Mandela Barnes, our former lieutenant governor, kicks it off with the welcome panel. Jeremy and I will be on one of the later media panels. So come see both Mandela, myself, and Jeremy Janine this evening at MATC's downtown campus. Just give it a Google. You can RSVP there. The event is free. Check it out. But let's get to the business of the day. You recently sat down and interviewed a friend of yours who had been working in the Indian Services. Again, not my language. This is a sort of holdover name. It's a subdivision of the Department of Health and Human Services in the federal government. Tell us a little bit about how did you end up having this conversation? And we're going to listen to a bit of it this afternoon.
For sure. So I think we've all seen a number of the Facebook posts that are making their rounds with, you know, National Park Services, folks who've been fired unjustly, people from the VA who've been fired unjustly, like all these sort of instances. And, you know, when you see these stories that are rightfully sensational, you know, it still feels like there's like, it's miles away. But then I saw a post from a friend of mine who's in a running group that I'm in, Katia Wanish, and she posted about, you know, finally landing that dream job. And, you know, as bad as the ones, you know, the folks that I'll never meet, as bad as those were, as bad as they continue to be, seeing this directly from someone who I know, it just makes it that much more difficult. I also have a friend who posted on Facebook about getting let go from the VA. He doesn't live in Wisconsin anymore. He used to. But being able to have this conversation with her was so important. One, just based on the level of her career that she was in. You know, she's a younger person, but, you know, been at a pretty decent level, you know, with the USDA. And I wanted folks to know that these are real stories. These are our friends. These are people we know. These are our neighbors. And if we think about the strength of the fabric of a community and how easily it is for just one fiber of that to be plucked, I want people to know just how unstable the whole thing is. And I wanted to have that conversation to bring it to light, to make it real for those who still weren't getting a grip on what's happening.
Thanks so much for that. Let's take a little listen to your interview of Katia. You can find the conversation between former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and his friend Katia, who was fired via a very bizarre email from her basically dream job as a public servant serving Wisconsin Native Americans. Let's take a listen. This is going to be cut one, Cal.
I really enjoyed, you know, making connections. And I think the reason that I chose the position is because I wanted to serve the people.
And we'll just, let's go to cut two right away and then three, please.
So I really feel like there's a lack of dignity, and I just felt like I was kind of completely erased from the system one day. So I essentially received a blank email, nothing written in the message, nothing saying, hi, Katie, or anything like that. A blank email with an attachment telling me that I was terminated.
We'll get into some of the detail here, but I have been a boss. I've had to let people go. And every time I had to do that, I approached it with this deep sense of responsibility, because that is a person with family, with financial responsibilities. And I never, ever let anyone go that didn't know it was coming. I want to be clear about that, right? If there are performance problems, I always say no job evaluation should ever catch you by surprise. Like, you should know that there is an issue, that I have to do X, Y, or Z in order to keep my job. A blank email that says via attachment, you're fired after years as a public servant, absolutely, I don't know, it's just completely stripping people of even the tiniest shred of their dignity. That part of the interview really hit me hard. What was it like talking with your friend and trying to share this with the public? How did that land with you, Mandela? Just as a person, so much of this is super heartbreaking. What was your takeaway?
Well, look, you give people the respect they deserve. And she's a person who didn't get the respect that she deserved, as well as thousands of other people across the country. And this total lack of respect for, you know, the public sector isn't anything new. I would tell people all the time that Donald Trump wouldn't have got elected if Scott Walker hadn't gotten elected here in Wisconsin. Mm. And given his total lack of respect for the working people who actually make this state function, regardless of what level they are in employment and seniority, they all play a critical role to ensuring that we get to enjoy everything that this great state has to offer. And that total lack of respect has gone all the way up to the federal government, to the White House specifically. You know, the old saying is, like, there's no such thing as a victimless billionaire, right? Like, you have to think about, like, how many people have been left in this person's wake, like, regardless of his people who were unjustly fired in his private sector ventures, the people who were at Twitter, who made Twitter Twitter was never a perfect place. Let me start by saying that.
Right.
But there were some guardrails in place. And to see how he came in, took over Twitter, he's tweeting, treating this entire country as if it were Twitter. And we are going in the direction of Twitter becoming a racist hellscape. And there is nothing, there is hardly anybody, certainly there aren't Republicans who are stepping up to put this in check. And honestly, I wish there were more Democrats who are willing to step up and say, at least stand up and say no to this. And you got a person like Al Green who stood up and protested Medicare cuts. Look, you can talk about decorum all you want to.
Sure.
But if you have the president who is letting go a workforce with little regard for their humanity, I do believe that that respect goes both ways. You don't just respect a president for the sake of respecting a president. A president should actually have respect for the office. And Donald Trump has shown very little respect for the office of president. He effectively had a sales pitch for Tesla just yesterday.
Yes, on the freaking White House lawn. What are we even talking about?
What are we talking about? So decorum has long been out the window. Decorum was out of the window during President Trump's first term. You know,
And this is the problem with Trump, right? Like in normal times, in non, oh my God, what is even happening land, I would make an argument that you respect the office, that there are these elements of just respect for The man has no respect for anyone, maybe other than other billionaires. He put them in the front row of his inauguration, right? He doesn't respect working people. His tax proposals show us that. He doesn't respect public servants, though he's supposed to be one. And the very way that he is permitting these mass firings to be conducted, when you show absolutely no respect, and in fact, not just the absence of respect, but active everyday hate and discrimination. Like, if people want to have an in-depth good faith argument with me about whether or not DEI policies actually work or whether they're corporate window dressings, like, I'm all for having that convo, because that is a real gosh darn thing. But do not tell me that discriminating against Black and Brown and Indigenous folks is the way to solve the problems for white working class people in this state and across the country. That it is so offensive. I wanted to ask you this very question, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, from Eric from Wauwatosa on our text line. Hey, would you ask our should-have-been senator how he would vote on the continuing resolution that's now before the Senate? Would you filibuster, or would you try to make the GOP negotiate a deal to get the CR done?
So, oddly enough, this is a prep question with just a friend of mine today who said, what would I have done? Just in a regular, we were just texting each other.
You're about just random shooting the breeze.
Just shooting the breeze. A friend of mine said, well, if you were there, what would you have done? And I had, you know, I really had to think about it, because one, you know, there has to be people who stand up and just say no to the madness, no to the chaos. And, you know, you want to do the right thing for people all the time, and understanding how many people have been impacted by government shutdowns before. But now this is a totally different era, because so much of the workforce has already been, you know, laid off and mass fired, and it feels as if they want to burn it down. And very rarely do Democrats match the energy or call the bluff of Republicans. So honestly, I feel as if they want to burn it down. Well, let's see how far they are willing to take it. Let's have this conversation, because these votes are going to keep happening. And if you vote, if you don't let them pass their regressive agenda enough times, they will have to come to terms, because they will start to hear from their constituents, and they have rarely had to hear from their people.
We're going to talk more about the boomerang and the fact that Democrats have cleaned up Republican messes to Republican benefit, but not Democratic credit, in the past with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. We take your questions as well. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Cornell from Merrill, Jack from Merrimack, and your questions are next on the phone and text lines with Mandela Barnes, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, everybody.